Welcome to Reading Deadly Troubadours, the weekly podcast where I, Brent Thomas, read my novel, Deadly Troubadours. Let's begin, shall we?
Chapter 36, A Series of Epilogues. The Deadly Troubadours. In the little hovel, of which they had seen far too little of over the past week, the Deadly Troubadours slept. Tomorrow they would awake and struggle to come to terms with what they had caused. There would be guilt and rationalizing. They would think of all those in the dragon army who had lost their lives because of a stupid boast. They would hear of Coal Town and struggle to remember the name of the one who had wanted to come with them. Would he still be alive if they had let him join them? But they would also hear the songs being sung by the people in the streets. There they would see the dances being danced by those jubilant to still be alive. They would resist the first several passes of bottles shared with them, but they would eventually drink the honeyed spirits being passed around among friends and strangers alike. They would dance, drink, and sing. They would heal both in body and spirit. And, with any luck, they would remember the strength of careless words and grow wiser from remembering. But that was for tomorrow. Today was for rest in their hovel that remained unchanged from when the adventure started, unchanged except for one minor decoration. There, next to the coned helm of a scarlet, sat another helm, this one fashioned from dragon scale. Caradhm Smythe. Caradhm Smythe scowled as he spat on the floor of the dragon slayer. No one took notice. They were too busy celebrating their continued existence. Caradhm scowled. His expectorate was clear, no longer tinted pink from the beating he had received. His mouth still tasted of copper. He had been beaten both physically and to his kill. Already the people were celebrating their new, nameless savior. That should be his praise. Instead, all he received was a rare pat on the back for helping guide the new dragon-slaying hero of Trist. And the story was beginning to evolve. At first, the story was that he had trained the new hero. Now, it was that he had just helped as a guide and advisor. But he was hearing new whispers. Whispers of how, while the new dragon slayer was leading the army, Smythe was trying to get fresh with a camp girl. A camp girl who didn't appreciate the old man's advances and clawed out his eye. No one dared say it to his face, but Caradhm heard the whispers. After all, they only started out as whispers. After a few drinks, whispers evolved into bawdy jokes and then snippets of songs. Soon, all that would be left of the reputation of Caradhm Smythe would be the tale of a lecherous drunk who was beaten senseless by a girl. Smythe felt his rage build inside him, but he couldn't act now. He had to heal, had to train. He had spent too much time in this tavern. Too much time brooding. Soon he would take action. It was true, he had been beaten, but he had been beaten before, and each time he had recovered and taken his revenge, and that is just what he would do this time. One black-haired youth who knew some magic, another was tall and with long blonde hair, and the girl, the small redhead who knew how to fight. He would find them, and they would learn the folly of leaving him alive. His was a just cause. He knew it in his heart. Retribution was always just. After all, did not the old ways teach an eye for an eye? As the dragon slayer sat and plotted his revenge, the edges of his scowl began to twist upwards. Everett Trin. Trin sat patiently as he waited for the last meeting of the day to conclude. Apparently, the corpse of a dragon was quite valuable. Even despite being under guard, several teeth and an entire claw had gone missing. Investigate, Trin said. That corpse is property of Trist. To steal from it is to steal from my person and shall not be allowed. If any soldier is found to be complicit in such thefts, then they should be brought up on charges. But if the men were involved, it was likely just for souvenirs, trophies of war. Surely such an act could be overlooked, said an advisor, whom Trin would soon ensure never again attended such a meeting. Dereliction in duty is never overlooked. Is that clear? None dared challenge Lord Guard Trin after such a declaration. Good. Then, are we adjourned? Just one more matter, your lordship, said Counselor Reed. Reed had a way of cooing and preening that vexed Trin. It was obvious that Reed enjoyed sharing news that made him more important and obfuscating that which did not. He was a toad, but unfortunately, he was a capable toad. Yes, Counselor. It appears that there is a waiter, or some such, who is much displeased by one of the lesser orders of the city hosting little parties in his place of employment. And he wishes the thieves to be investigated. That should be dealt with by the Scarlets, not at this level, snapped Trin. Reed could never get to the point fast enough for his purposes. Oh, no, 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 nothing like that. The parties are approved by the owners. However, it vexes this poor man to have to repeat so much of his duties due to the revelries of what he considers rude little bunglers, not even fit for a proper thieves' guild? Reed tittered as if he had just recited something considerably amusing. Trin merely stared and waited for the point to be reached. When he realized that Trin was not going to play his game, Reed continued. It also turns out that one of the little gangs in attendance is perhaps responsible for luring the dragon to Trist in the first place. Who are they? Trin sat bolt straight at the announcement. How does he know this? Well, Reed stretched the word out, enjoying being the center of attention. To answer your second question, he heard it with his own two ears. And, to answer the first, they seem to style themselves the Deadly Troubadours. Demetrius Tate. 2 days after the dragon, the still gaunt and recovering Demetrius found himself unable to sleep. He kept thinking about the bakery where the last meet had been held. He knew he wouldn't be able to sleep until he satisfied this one last urge. Soundlessly, he crept through the shared hovel and out the door, taking with him his scepter and Talbert sack, since he had left his own at that faraway mountain. Trist was still in good humor, but the constant celebration was starting to come to an end, or at least it was late enough for this day's celebration to have ended. Demetrius traced his way through the interweaving streets. He was alone with his thoughts, doubts, and misgivings. He did his best to focus on moving forward. Without heeding too many distracting thoughts, he came to the selfsame bakery. It was a simple matter to deal with the lock and enter the building. Demetrius assumed that the celebrations had been good for business, as there were little stock left on the shelves. He had hoped for something sweet, but he had to settle for a dark, heavy bread. It was tasty enough, and besides, food wasn't what he was after. He headed to the ovens. They were still warm, but certainly not hot enough. But there was a strong supply of wood and coal, and it was simple enough to magic up a roaring fire. Once he was satisfied, he placed his scepter on the counter and opened the sack. He cast another look at the almost glowing oven and again shook away his misgivings. The egg was as deceptively heavy as ever, but it felt cooler to the touch than from when he first found it, warmed as it had been by its mother. Because of him, the poor egg would never again feel its mother's warmth. But there were other sources of warmth in the world. He slid the egg free of its sack and placed it at the opening of the great oven. Even from the lip, the oven's heat was enough to start him sweating. A little push, and the egg rolled to the center. Nothing to do now but wait. The heat penetrated deep inside the egg, and a new life stirred.
That's all for this week. Thanks for listening. Deadly Troubadours is now available as an ebook from Smashwords.com, Amazon.com, and Apple's online store. If you want to know more about me, Brent Thomas, you can visit my website at DeadlyTroubadour.com. You can also like me on Facebook
by searching for the Brent Thomas author page.
This podcast is available on iTunes, so if you have a moment, please rate and review the show. While you are there, why not check out my other podcasts, Comics League International and Living Japan. If you want to contact me, email me at deadlytroubadour@gmail.com or follow me on Twitter at deadtroubadour.
The best way to support me and my work is on patreon.com/Brent Thomas. Even a pledge of $1 a month can make a real difference. Thank you for listening. Please tell your friends. And you know what? Have a great day.